Wherever you are, we are. Your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
The Walla County DA says Sandra Bland's death will be treated like a murder investigation. We'll have the latest. Bill Cosby dropped from his latest movie project after more statements he made in a 2005 deposition are released to the public. Also, we'll tell you how to avoid the dangers of dehydration as the heat wave grips the East Coast. Plus, Najee talks about his new album, You, Me, and Forever, and former NFL running back Thomas Jones joins us to talk about his new TV One original movie, Runaway Island. It's time to bring the funk on News One Now TV One. The death of Sandra Bland is now being called a murder investigation. That according to the Walla County District Attorney, Elton Mathis. Yesterday, a video was released from the jail where Sandra Bland was being held. This is the video here. In this video, you see a gurney being rolled by her jail cell. This took place after one of the jailers had walked by her jail cell and saw that someone was in duress. She then made a phone call, raced down the hallway. Other jailers came, and that's when they then called EMS in, and they brought the stretcher in. Bland's death was ruled a suicide after an autopsy was performed by the Harris County Medical Examiner's Office. Her family right now, though, they are in Texas. They've been there since Sunday night seeking answers. Today at Prairie View A&M University, there's a major meeting taking place where state police and FBI officials, along with various politicians, including State Senator Royce West of Dallas, State Senator Rodney Ellis of Houston. They'll meet privately on the status of the case, and Senator Royce West will hold a news conference after that particular meeting. As I said yesterday, the Walla County Sheriff's Department released a three-hour video. Again, that video only shows what took place outside of Bland's cell prior to her death. Now, today, we're being told that the dash cam video from the state trooper's car that stopped Sandra Bland on Friday, two Fridays ago, that is going to be released today. That state trooper right now is on desk duty as a result because DPS had a preliminary report shows that he actually committed several violations of their policy. What does the change in how law enforcement approaches the Bland case mean? We return to Yudit Twelday, a defense attorney and former Dallas County prosecutor who joined us via Skype from Dallas here in D.C. We have Lenny McAllister, a commentator and host of Night Talk, Get to the Point, and the Lenny McAllister Show. Tiffany Lofton, program coordinator for the Civil Human Women's Rights at the AFL-CIO, and David Swartlick, assistant editor at the Washington Post. Yudit, I want to start with you. Initially, they said she committed suicide. That's what happened. Now, all of a sudden, the DA says, back up. This is now being treated as a murder investigation. As a former prosecutor, what does this mean? What happened here? Why the change in approach and change in tone by the Walla County DA?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the political pressure, public opinion as well. With the DA changing his mind, I don't necessarily think it has anything to do with new evidence. I think it was just the opportunity to give the family a fair investigation, because when you consider the circumstances in which she was stopped, the violations that the trooper had done at that point, when she goes to the jail, there were already violations according to the Texas Commissions of Jail Standards. When you look at all of that, and you look at certain things like her personal life, her friends, her family couldn't even fathom her doing something like this. She had so much going on in her life that was positive. I think the DA just wanted to go ahead and take a step back and actually allow a fair and thorough investigation just to make sure there was no foul play.
Well, here's the other deal. By also doing this, you also force a different kind of conversation, because, frankly, had folks simply accepted their initial explanation, we would not know that information about the jail. We would not have the DPS involved. They would not have done a report on this state trooper. And so even if, let's say, this investigation goes on and it is indeed confirmed to be a suicide, the family also on Sunday, they had an independent autopsy done, forcing this to be a full and real investigation has revealed other flaws in the whole approach to what happened with Sandra Bland.
Well, I mean, Waller County has a long history of racial tension, first of all, so that's nothing new, especially when it comes to police. So the fact that they are having a separate autopsy, that's something they should do. I mean, this is sort of reminiscent of Freddie Gray and all of the separate investigations that were done aside from the local authorities, because no one really trusts local authorities nowadays to do their own fair investigation. So the family taking it upon themselves to have that separate autopsy is very smart. But I think what drew attention to this case was the way the trooper treated her, because if you do remember, there was a footage of someone, a bystander, who was taking footage of the entire stop, entire stop, but when she was on the ground. So I think that caused a second look.
I want to go to our panel here. This is what happens, I believe, when you have public pressure, because if we had accepted the officer's version of the case that she resisted arrest or she kicked the officer and she gets put in jail, then all of a sudden folks would be fine. Now you have people saying, wait a minute, does it make sense to have that kind of that $5,000 bond, if you will, for this type of incident? Now we see the questioning of the state trooper and his actions as well. Again, to me, there are ancillary things that actually come out when people press to say, no, we need to know exactly what happened, not to accept your version of what happened.
Well, it's that, but we're going to also have to look at this and go past the ancillary aspect of this and say this is something systematic. We're seeing the same exact symptoms. There are violations by the police officer. There's exorbitant amounts of bail amounts being set. We're seeing very problematic situations coming into place where people are detained, and then the next thing you know, they're died, and it's always the victim's fault one way or another. And unfortunately, this is something that as this investigation goes on, we're going to have to get to the rudimentary issues that we're facing from coast to coast. We're still talking about Eric Garner this past week, all the way to California with Ezell Ford and some of the stuff going on in LA, and now in between in Texas. We're going to have to look at this and say this is an American problem and start really pushing past the individual incidences and saying what's going on with our police forces, how they're interacting with African American communities, both man and woman, and how do we get past this? And if it's something we have to put in place at the federal level, we have to do it.
Yesterday, Ken Lambert, I talked to him. He saw the video, the dash cam video on Sunday. Also, State Senator Rodney Ellis said he saw it as well, and he said you can look at it several different ways. Lambert said here was a case, and then hopefully when we see it, people will all be able to see it for themselves. Lambert says that, you know, in many ways, this trooper was angered by the fact that that Bland chose actually to assert her rights. When he wanted her to put the cigarette out, she said, I'm in my car, I don't have to. And then he wanted her, she reached for her cell phone to record it, then he didn't like that as well, and then tried to literally pull her out of the car. I mean, you talk about, you know, crossing a line, and again, we keep hearing, oh, we have rights, but when you have officers who literally get mad that you have the audacity to even ask them a question.
Right.
And your deep 1 second. Go ahead, Tiffany.
I was also going to say that it's really important that the video that we saw on YouTube that's being shared by the bystander also has the officer telling the bystander, put your camera down, leave, go home. Why are you recording the situation in the story? And this all started because she did not use her blinker when she was making a signal turn. And so I think that
And according to Cannon Lambert, because the trooper was coming up at a high rate of speed, she freaked out and was like, let me get over.
I would too. I would completely freak out. And so the outrage that's happening, and it's not just Sandra Bland, right? Like she saw on social media and on Facebook that she made this video about Black Lives Matter and about the patterns that are happening in this country. This is a cross between what happened with Khalif Browder in New York City, who committed suicide after he left prison after 3 years without trial, right? And then also a cross between Freddie Gray for being in police custody. So what social media did this past weekend is say the hashtag, if I die in police custody, you should know that I did not commit suicide. You should know that this was wrongfully done.
David and Yodit.
Yeah, no, just to echo what Lenny and Tiffany are saying, look, police and prosecutors are scrambling now because there's been all this attention and because it's clear that things were done wrong. We don't know all the facts at the jail, but clearly at the road stop, and what we see, whether it is Freddie Gray, whether it is Eric Garner, whether it's Marlene Pinnock, all of these cases, it's this thing where these tiny crimes, traffic stop, selling Lucy cigarettes, turn into this aggressive policing where police are not acting as professionals and not understanding, Roland, you know, I know I've said this before, that they are the public servants and the people they're stopping are citizens.
Yodit?
That trooper made a mistake the second he asked Sandra Bland to get out of that vehicle. He had no right to do that. Once he asked for the driver's license and insurance and he ran that driver's license in Texas, if you have a valid license, you are to be let. You're supposed to get, if it's a traffic offense that you're stopped for, you're supposed to be released at that point if you are cleared, if there are no outstanding warrants or anything in that way. So that officer asking her to step out of the vehicle was completely inappropriate at that point. He escalated the situation because he was supposed to actually let her go.
Right, and that to me, I think, is the fundamental problem. When you as an individual, you have rights, and we hear that, and folks say that, yeah, but I know you have rights, but don't say anything, don't question. And so I can't wait for that dash cam video, because it also is a video, and according to the Bland family attorney, Kenan Lambert, we also hear the conversation between her and the officer. And this also is another example for me why you also have to have body cameras, as opposed to a dash cam video, which is further back, where you literally see and hear the interaction up close. And again, so hopefully we'll find out, and we'll see that video, and we can have another discussion tomorrow. Yodi, I surely appreciate it. Thank you so very much. Folks, when we come back, more fallout from the Bill Cosby deposition. He loses a movie project after that was released.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is, when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now. With Roland Martin.
Thank you, Drew Selection, in the trial of Randall Carrick. He is the Charlotte police officer who shot and killed former Florida A&M football player Jonathan Farrell. That shooting took place in September 2003. Carrick is on trial for voluntary manslaughter. And again, a lot of folks are focusing on this case because the initial grand jury declined to indict Carrick. The second grand jury did indict him. You're looking at footage of Monday's court proceedings. 461 jurors have been called. A couple of were dismissed yesterday. And so they expect jury selection to take about a week. And so we'll see exactly what happens after that. Carrick's lawyers plans to argue that he was acting in self-defense when he shot Farrell. The problem is there were three cops on the scene. One white, two black. The two black officers never drew their gun. One drew his taser. Carrick was the only one who pulled his gun and fired 10 shots that killed Farrell, who himself was severely injured after a car accident. And so we'll keep updates on that particular case. More fallout for Bill Cosby. Of course, he 2005 deposition was released, obtained by the New York Times and CNN, where he talked about obtaining Quaaludes to give to women he wanted to have sex with. Well, producers of a documentary on the history of black stuntmen have removed Bill Cosby from that. It is called Paint It Down, and it details a history of white stunt performers who were painted black to portray black actors. The movie's producer, Noni Robinson, told Deadline.com, quote, "We were the last project standing behind him, but now with Whoopi and CAA pulling the plug, we must also disassociate and cut all ties with Cosby. It's the right thing to do in light of the recent court deposition being made public. Also, Ben's Chili Bowl is under intense pressure to remove this mural of Bill Cosby that's on the side of the restaurant, okay? The full mural actually shows Bill Cosby, and they added President Barack Obama after he was elected. So I'm going to go to our panel with this. The stuntmen are wrong. They're wrong for removing Bill Cosby from this documentary. Because here's why. In their own story, this is why he was in the documentary. Because when he was on I Spy, he came onto the set and he saw them literally painting a white stuntman, his entire body, brown. And Bill Cosby said, "What the hell are y'all doing?" The next day, there was a black stuntman on the set. They admit that Bill Cosby was the first black actor to ever mandate that take place, that he said, and so they even admit, without Bill Cosby doing that, that led to the creation of the Black Stuntmen Association. I get all of the, I get how people are responding. I don't understand it will nor accept how you can do a documentary on the history of black stuntmen and that act itself led to your creation, and you remove the person from it.
Can you talk about that story without having his image up there and him talking about it? Because at this point in time, if he's talking about it versus somebody else talking about it, now the attention goes towards Bill Cosby.
But I disagree. Disagree, because if Bill Cosby is talking about exactly what happened, And if the act led to your very creation and created all the opportunities for black stuntmen, to me,
but we can do that.
But here's
will
the deal.
Other people be able to watch that documentary and not get distracted by all the
Yes.
Well, they should be able to. I mean, just.
But will.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I do agree with Roland that if you can't excise Bill Cosby from history. If you're talking about the history of film and TV, and he's a part of the history of film and TV, then he's in it. And it doesn't serve any purpose to get him out of there. That being said,
I was watching an NFL Network and they had a piece on the 10 top running backs in the 70s. O.J. Simpson was in it.
Right. Yeah. But if you're a brand like Ben's Chili Bowl or Clark Atlanta University, you might have to distance yourself because the Bill Cosby brand is gone.
Well, let's be clear. Bill Cosby's mural is not on there because he was a part of a show or because of this act that took place. He knew and had a relationship with the owner of Ben's Chili Bowls long before.
Put them on the map.
Put them on the map.
Exactly. They got four locations.
And his mural's on there. They have a burger named after him or whatever.
And let's be clear, people, I mean, matter of fact, I went the other day and all these people literally come from all over the world to come to Ben's Chili Bowl. I didn't know about Ben's Chili Bowl growing up in Houston.
Right.
Until I heard Bill Cosby talking about it.
Right.
So I understand from the owner's standpoint why they are so hesitant on this move. But I understand how people are reacting to the deposition. Totally get it.
Right.
But I just absolutely disagree. That you remove someone from history when literally that his decision to say you're not going to have a white man be my stuntman, and literally the next day there was a black stuntman,
right.
And they say Bill Cosby was the first black actor to do that. I believe that's a mistake.
Roland, there's a difference between holding somebody accountable for their actions, having them go through trial, and then removing them from history, like you said, which is how they pretty much changed diversity for the stunts.
So
timing's still everything, though, too, as well. If this is coming out 18 months from now, they would have kept him in there. They wouldn't have released anything in the press, and he'd have quietly come out, and this would have been released 18 months from now. Because this project allegedly is coming out sooner than later, and all this firestorm's hitting,
but Lenny, they're
trying to protect their brand
I understand trying to protect the brand. But what I'm saying, though, is if you look at this whole deal, so we're not going to show the Bill Cosby interview. Are you going to mention him?
I'm pretty certain you can't. I agree with you. Talk about this story without him being in it.
This is a quote. We were the last project standing behind him, but now with Whoopi Goldberg and CAA pulling the plug, we must also disassociate and cut all ties with Bill Cosby. It's the right thing to do in light of the recent court deposition being made public. The issue for me is you're creating a documentary that will be around for forever. And if you remove the impetus for how you even got created,
David, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, look, I don't know why, first of all, they had to wait for Whoopi Goldberg to make their own independent decision, as if she's the arbiter of when and where you drop off with Bill Cosby. But look, here's the thing. It bears repeating. If someone is accused of a crime, they're innocent until proven guilty. But you don't get the innocent until proven guilty standard when you've lost this branding public opinion.
I understand.
And I think that it is just bad news for folks in the free marketplace to, I agree with you on the documentary, but all these other brands.
I get it. I don't believe anybody would, Tiffany, I don't believe anybody who watches this documentary would go, oh, no, I'm not going to watch that documentary on black stuntmen because Bill Cosby gave a quote.
I agree. Right.
But if they're paying, there's a difference between paying him to be a part of it and mentioning his story for free. And if this disassociation.
Okay, how about this, Lenny? Bill Cosby made history when he won an Emmy for I Spy. The Emmys right now is a 64% increase this year on blacks who were nominated for Emmys. If the Emmys did a tribute to blacks in the Emmys, should Bill Cosby be in it?
Can he be in it without being on stage? And that's the decision that they would make.
No.
That's the decision that they would make.
So they showed a video of Bill Cosby accepting a speech. They shouldn't.
That'd be bad timing, but.
And there you go.
I'm asking you a question. If you're doing a tribute on blacks who won Emmys and he was the first to win an Emmy.
Would I take the video from 1960, whatever?
Right.
Yeah, I would.
Wow. See,
yes,
again,
to me, that's nuts.
That's nuts. Because if O.J. Simpson and people say he killed two people is still included in videos talking about winning the Heisman Trophy, talking about being one of the greatest NFL running backs, setting the single-season rushing record to Eric Dickerson broken. I just don't believe.
Do they have O.J. Simpson on stage currently?
No, not on stage. But in the NFL documentary, he was still in it because he still played football. I just don't think you remove somebody who actually created the opportunity from the story.
And I think also changing history like that doesn't do anything for the future of what this court case is going to come out to be, or hold him accountable in the future.
So. All right, folks. Coming up, appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Coming up, the Urban House Call doctors drop by the show to tell us how to stay hydrated in the heat. Some of y'all need to understand that. Also, musical icon Najee is here to talk about his new album, You and Me Forever. Plus, we'll hear from former NFL running back Thomas Jones about the new movie right here on TV One called Runaway Island. It's 24 after the hour. News 1 now on TV One.
Okay, government might have shut down.
Let's end this shutdown right now. Let's put people back to work.
Listen, there's never been a president in our history that did not negotiate over the debt limit. Never. Not once.
But you can count on us. Welcome to News One Now with Roland Martin.
Dr. Carl and Dr. Rob, the Urban House Call doctors, are here in the house to talk about how to beat the heat and avoid dehydration. So, folks, again, I play golf, and people always say, man, I don't know how you play in this heat. I said, yeah, easy. I said, a hat, water, sunscreen. And I said, and not drinking water when you get on the course. Actually loading up before you play.
Absolutely.
And so I'll play to people, and I'm looking at them going, why are you not drinking? Typically, it was a hot day. I'm likely drinking a bottle per hole.
Wow.
Or a bottle every two holes. So I'm likely to go through, if I'm playing golf in the heat, I'm probably going to drink 10 bottles of water.
Right.
That's awesome.
18 holes, because I'm like, you're in the heat.
Absolutely. Yeah. And unfortunately, most people don't come as prepared as you do, Roland. But you hit the nail on the head.
I'm trying to play tomorrow.
That's it. That's it. You want to go back. That's
yeah,
right.
I want to play tomorrow.
Right.
That's it. And so it's key. It's really all about preparation. And it is about, before you actually take the activity, making sure that you are well hydrated. Because, you know, if you're not, then you really don't have those reserves. So once you start sweating, once you start losing those fluids, then you really are at greater risk of suffering from the consequences of dehydration.
So what exactly is dehydration? What is it?
So dehydration is essentially when there's a mismatch or a misbalance, so to speak, of your fluid intake as to how much fluid you're losing, whether through urine, through your stool or bowel movements, or in the case that we're discussing, through sweating. And so we all lose fluids throughout the course of the day through those various different mechanisms, but when you don't take in enough water to compensate for those fluid losses, then you become dehydrated.
Mm-hmm. All right, then. So what are the common, so I see you got some stuff right here, yes. And one of the things, I when I'm playing, we're going to start with the alcohol first, though, because I'll play with folks, and they're drinking beer,
right.
And they're drinking,
right.
They're drinking mixed drinks on the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
I don't drink. Mm-hmm. Alcohol. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking that don't go well when it comes to dehydration.
Recipe for disaster. As you know, Roland, alcohol is a huge risk factor for dehydration, and it really, most people don't think about it. You know, when we think about outdoor activities, a lot of people, when they have barbecues or they're boating or whatever the case may be, they are drinking alcohol. And so this is a huge risk factor for dehydration, and something that we certainly don't advise people to do.
All right, then. So I see the folks who didn't get much sleep, and so they do. Again, I've never had an energy drink in my life, so I know what they taste like.
Yeah.
Also, not a good idea?
Absolutely not a good idea. These are typically loaded with caffeine, which acts as a diuretic, so it makes you, you know, lose more water through urine. And so we certainly don't advise, you know, doing caffeinated drinks, especially the energy drinks, when you're out in the heat, when you're out in the sun, you're otherwise going to be losing those fluids through sweating. And so, as you mentioned, sometimes people are having mixed drinks. So now they have alcohol and caffeine. Certainly not a good recipe if you're trying to avoid dehydration.
But they feeling good.
For a while.
All right, so what you got next?
So we've got over-the-counter diuretics. Now, a lot of women use these to lose that quick water weight gain that they have, especially around their cycle, if they have an event coming up or whatever the case may be. These are also a recipe for disaster when it comes to your fluid status. And so we definitely want to caution people when they are using diuretics, or if they're on a prescription diuretic, that you definitely have to make sure that you are replacing those fluids that are lost. Or you might have some of the symptoms of dehydration that we know all too well, like headaches or muscle cramps or even bad breath can be associated with dehydration.
All right, then. Fruit?
Fruit. What's up with the fruit?
Actually, this is what you should do.
Thank you.
Okay, load up.
I'm going, I know fruit ain't bad for you.
No. This is what we want you to do. We want you to load up on fruits and vegetables because they're primarily made of water. And so this is another way to get that water that you're otherwise losing in those outdoor summer activities. So, you know, if you want to take a snack with you, take a bag of fruit, take a few bottles of water as you do when you play golf. And this is a way to combat or even prevent yourself from becoming dehydrated. And so we certainly encourage those individuals who are doing those outdoor activities, drink plenty of water, eat the fruits as you should, the vegetables and so forth, and you can certainly avoid dehydration and avoid that next day headache and just feeling fatigued and miserable that resulted from your outdoor activity.
All right then, and so eat the fruit, and now here's the other piece though. All right, so you said load up before you go out, but when you're out there, what fruits should you be eating?
Well, that's an excellent question. I know personally I like bananas because, as Dr. Carla mentioned, you get cramping sometimes as a sign or a symptom of dehydration, and in large part that's because of potassium loss. And so you're kind of doing yourself double good by taking in a fruit that, you know, has, that's rich in potassium, and then you add that to the water that you're replenishing to restore your water losses. And so that's actually an excellent fruit to take out there in those outdoor activities. And additionally, it doesn't spoil as easily as some other fruits may do.
All right then, where can folks get more information?
UrbanHouseCall.com. We're on Twitter as well at UrbanHouseCall.
All right, folks, some sad news out of Cleveland. Retired U.S. Congressman Lewis Stokes is battling lung and brain cancer. The 90-year-old champion in the civil rights movement is the first black member of Congress from Ohio, serving 30 years. In a statement from the former congressman, quote, "For years, I've made it my career in fighting for the people of Ohio, but now I must devote my time and energy to working with my doctors in this current health challenge, which my family and I are totally immersed." Our thoughts and prayers are with Congressman Stokes, also his daughters, Lori Stokes, an anchor out of New York, and so certainly our prayers are with them. We also mourn the death of Claudia Alexander today. The 56-year-old scientist and former NASA manager died July 11th in Arcadia, California, after a battle with breast cancer. NASA credits her for stellar work in interior physics of planets, comets, solar wind, and as playing a key role in the space agency's Galileo mission to Jupiter. She's also credited for her work on the International Rosetta Space Exploration Project. Folks, coming up next on News One Now, jazz great Najee explains why he fell in love with the saxophone, and also former NFL player Thomas Jones talks about what it's like to leave the NFL to become an actor. Folks, don't forget you can catch News One Now live by setting your DVR so you don't want to miss any of our discussions. Also, tell your friends to do the same. It is 26 before top of the hour, News One Now on TV One.
My name is Charlie Wilson, and this is my book, I Am Charlie Wilson, and you're watching News One Now with my main man, Roland Martin. Keep it locked. We'll be right back.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with Roland Martin.
Folks, he's one of the greatest saxophonists out there and has released more than 16 albums throughout his career. I recently talked with him about his new album, You, Me, and Forever. You got a new CD out, so new music.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Which album is this? What, you bought the 58th one? What you got?
I wish. No, this is 17, I think.
17?
Yeah, I think it totals about 17 now.
17. Yeah. So, what makes this different and unique than the others? This CD is called You, Me, and Forever. What makes this one unique and different from the others?
Well, it's probably the creative process I went through. Mm-hmm. I did this record all over the world. I went to London, recorded over there. I went to New York. I went to Dallas, Los Angeles. And
so, you had ADD or something?
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, it sounds like a very expensive project, right? But honestly, it was just a lot of fun. Just took some chances, really. That's really what it was, collaborating with different people I hadn't worked with and have known for many years. And this is probably the first record that I don't have like a major superstar, like an Eric Benet or somebody like that. Mm-hmm. You
said no major star in here, so was it a matter of seeking different sounds?
Yes, absolutely. I introduced some people who happen to be in the industry, like an Andrea Wallace, who's worked with Kirk Franklin and mm-hmm. the family, James Lloyd of Pieces of a Dream. You know, well, he's a major star. Frank McComb, he's a major star, actually, playing keyboards and arrangements on one song. And, you know, also introducing a vocalist and guitarist named Chuck Johnson, who's toured with me for like 7 years, and people love hearing him every night. I said, well, let's record a record together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are some artists They have a consistent sound, whereas pretty much it might be mid-tempo versus up-tempo versus slow. And yeah. So are you also looking at that, trying to have that sort of that variety as well?
You know, on this record, I went several places. You know, people know me as a smooth jazz artist now.
Right.
But when I first started, I created what I called R&B records with the saxophone.
Right.
You know, but I'm a jazz saxophonist and flutist. Mm-hmm. So I kind of went a lot of places on this record. I did the Brazilian song Wave by Antonio Carlos Jobim. Also did a remake of You're the Biggest Part of Me, The Biggest Part of Me, which was originally done by the group Ambrosia. And so we did a variation of different things. The end of the album ends up with a traditional jazz song written by one of the legendary saxophonists who played with the Ellington Orchestra, Count Basie from Kansas City, named Ahmed Aladdin, his composition called Jenna. We did that. So it goes a lot of places, you know.
Do you bristle at the phrase smooth jazz?
I don't bristle. You know, I understand the need for marketing.
I mean, a lot of jazz folks do.
True. But, you know, I came in the game before they coined that term to identify artists who were playing contemporary music.
And also for folks to understand, that was an actual music, a radio station format.
It was.
That actually has been trademarked and licensed. So that's really what that was. That's not like it was, okay, here's a musical genre. That was really a radio station format, and then art. And bottom line is, you want to get airtime, you pretty much fit your sound to what they were trying to achieve on the air.
Exactly. That's exactly true. But it doesn't discredit the musicians playing the music, because most of the musicians that are on the air doing that format, I find, can play other genres of music very well.
So. When you mention really R&B songs with a saxophone,
yes,
there is something different and unique, I would say, about the saxophone than any other. And so, I mean, you can listen to certain songs and it can really change, if you will,
yes,
that particular song.
Yes, it can, because I think the instrument lends itself to the personality of the person playing it. You know, so with that, you know, the artist is able to reinterpret it a certain way that directly connects with the audience, I believe.
Now, there's a saxophone family, and so what is your favorite sax in the saxophone family and your least favorite?
Well,
first of all, folks who don't understand, how many different saxophones are there?
There's five in the family.
All right, so you have
the baritone, the tenor, the alto, soprano, and sopranino, which I've never played.
Really?
Baritone or sopranino.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Why? You just said baritone is too big for you, like a line trying to lug that thing around.
As a kid, I couldn't be caught a Monday with carrying that big thing around. But, sopranino is just, the voice is too high. But to be honest with you, the reason why I play soprano, my brother Fareed, who's produced most of my most successful albums, one day we got into this argument. He said, man, you got to play soprano. I said, no, man, I'm a tenor player. I'm a tenor saxophone and flute player. That's what I do. He's like, no, man, you need to play soprano. As fate would have it.
So y'all got into an argument, and he made you do it.
Well, he said,
how
you got to
place money.
I don't know. We might have been 18, 19 years old at the time, you know. And he plays guitar, and he writes and produces and things. And he always liked the sound of Sonny Fortune and John Coltrane and Grover and Ronnie Laws, you know. So when he'd write these songs, he'd hear soprano on his stuff. And I was like, nah, man, I'm playing tenor. He's like, nah, man, you got to play soprano.
So really, really, he was forcing you to fit the music he was writing.
Exactly. and as fate would have it, my very first album, you know, I played soprano. I bought this $800 out-of-tune soprano. You know, within a few months, we had a gold record.
Wow.
It wasn't my tenor sound that did it.
And ever since then, you're like,
I'm
going to go ahead and leave that tenor right there.
Absolutely.
Now in concert, do you switch?
I do. Yes, I play all three. Well, mainly three, just soprano, alto, and tenor. Soprano, tenor, and flute.
Gotcha. So now I'll also say this here. Henry and I had this conversation because he believed in, he was talking about the bass drum.
Uh-huh.
I said, bro, let me explain something to you. I said, the bass drum, and he'll tell you, the bass drum ain't never going to get a woman excited. I said, they ain't going to do it.
Unless you can make them dance.
No, I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to do it. Boom. Boom.
All right.
It ain't gonna do it. But saxophone and the trumpet always work with women in school.
Well, I hate to say this, but this is a true story. I went to a school for aviation in New York, a high school.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, Russell Simmons was my classmate. And we were there for aviation to become a pilot. That was my goal. But I'll never forget taking my very first tenor saxophone solo. in the school band, and all the girls knew my name. I had a quick career change. True story. So.
See? Henry, bass drum ain't gonna do it, dog. Y'all can watch drumline all you want to, but it ain't gonna do it. She's not gonna do it.
There you go.
All right, then. You gonna play something for us, man?
Man,
what you got?
Sure. I got a soprano.
I mean, you got the horn sitting here. Right? Might as well do a little something.
There
you go. All right, then. All right, work it out, then. All right, Doc, that's it?
All right, my
All right,
friend.
I appreciate
so
it. I appreciate it. Thanks a bunch. All right, then. Coming up, former NFL player Thomas Jones talks about being in the new TV One movie, Runaway Island. Next on News One Now, TV One.
Okay, you might want to get close to your radio.
My deal is we can have an honest conversation where both sides have some issues.
I love it.
I want to officially welcome you to News One Now with Roland Martin.
Folks, Thomas Jones, former NFL running back, is now in the movies. He stars in Runaway Island, a romantic comedy about a senator's widow, played by Lorraine Toussaint of Orange is the New Black, who finds a second chance at love with a much younger man. Thomas Jones is right now via Skype from Los Angeles. Thomas, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
All right, Thomas, let me go ahead and say this. So, bro, before we came up to the segment, so they tell me in the control room we got a 55-second clip from the movie. I went, 55 seconds? We ain't got all that time. Then they tell me, Thomas, that, well, Thomas ain't saying nothing in the clip. I said, well, what the hell is a 55-second clip? They said, well, it's just showing Thomas almost butt naked. So, first question I have for you, do you have, y'all, go ahead and roll the video. Y'all told me y'all had it. So, go ahead and roll the video. And so, Thomas, do you have any, did you get paid by the word in this movie? or did you get paid by the ab and the pec?
Hey, listen, I think it was a mixture of both. You know, I mean, honestly, this was a great project. I was very, very excited to be a part of it. I was the last one to be cast for this. Great cast, great producers, great director. And I guess, you know, that was just part of my character. So I'm glad that I could, you know, make the most of my wordless scenes, I guess. So.
Right, because the only
word,
matter of fact, hold up. Y'all turn the audio up. This is the only word they gave me, Tom was speaking.
Thank you.
He said, thank you. Thomas, that was a 55-second clip, and all you said was thank you. I hope you didn't get paid by the word, bro.
Listen, there's way more clips than that. So, I think this project is one of the most special projects I've been a part of. I think I made some lifelong friends here. The energy on set was just amazing. I was the last one to get on set. And I just felt this family environment. They welcomed me with open arms. And, you know, everyone that left that project, we still talk. We were at the American Black Film Festival last month. And it was like a family reunion. Everybody was excited to see each other for the premiere. And, you know, I mean, I think projects like this are definitely needed, especially, you know, with the times. And I hope everyone enjoys it on Saturday night.
So, Thomas, when did you decide you want to act? I mean, here you are, you play in the NFL, you have a long career. I think you ended up 25th on the rushing list in terms of yards in a career, ahead of folks like Marshawn Lynch, Earl Campbell, and others. And so were you working on your acting game while you were also working on your running game?
No, it was one of those things just kind of happened very spontaneously. I was always into the arts and entertainment. Even when I played, I had a record label. And when I retired, probably for like the first 8 to 9 months, I was really lost because I ran the label, had artists, but I wasn't the talent. And being a football player, I'm the talent. And a lot of my success depends on my hard work. So, you know, I was looking for something that I could work on. So for about 8 to 9 months, I was really in this weird space. I started a films division and added that to my company. I started producing a TV series in Miami with Clifton Powell. And I was playing Clifton Powell's nephew in the project. And that's how I got into acting. And he really encouraged me. He was almost like a mentor and a big brother to me in this new career of mine. And he actually encouraged me to act and come to LA. And I was able to, you know, get in some good classes, get with a good agency, great manager, Rena Patton. And I've been able to really, you know, take on some really good projects and some really good projects early on in my career.
Is one of those, of course, you were a little cutty buddy for Gabrielle Union and being Mary Jane. You were butt naked in that all the time, too. I got to ask you this here, because here's what was funny to me. You look like Hollywood wants a running back to look. And here's why I'm saying that. Darnell Autry, okay? Brother went to Northwestern, studied drama, got his degree in theater, played in NFL. So when they were doing the movie Any Given Sunday, the casting people picked LL Cool J over Darnell Autry because they said LL looked like an NFL running back, when LL ain't never played in the NFL, but Darnell actually played in the NFL and studied theater, but they said, you don't look like a running back.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I guess those are the breaks, man. LL has a history for the ladies. So I guess, you know, sometimes it's not about whether you have experience in football or not, it's whether the ladies love you or not. That's viewers. That's way more important than your experience in football.
No, it wasn't ladies love him. They said he had more muscles than Darnell, even though Darnell actually played in the NFL. Thomas, we get to hear you in Runaway Island on Saturday. But y'all can watch Thomas Jones in Runaway Island. Airs Saturday on TV1. That's July 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. Thomas, man, always good to see you. Good luck in what you're doing, man. And next time, tell me to just say a couple of my words.
Well, I'll have a lot more words on Saturday, so tune in at 8 p.m. and you'll hear me talk a lot more.
All right, then. He's going to say more than thank you.
Thank you all. Thank you, bro. Appreciate it.
Thomas, I appreciate it, bro. You take care.
You too.
We come back. I'll preview our Essence Fest special, Aaron, right here on News 1 Now on Friday. In 60 seconds.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is, when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for Black Thoughts in America. It's News 1 Now with Roland Martin.
All right, folks, Friday right here on News 1 Now, we're going to have our Essence Fest special, all the sights and sounds, the spiciness from New Orleans. Here's another sneak peek.
There's so many questions I want to ask you about how you preserve your voice, how you approach it, what you listen to, what you grew up listening to. Which note would work better over a B9 or 9 if you wanted to add a flat 13? I don't know if you was going to sing that. What would you sing? I mean, I have so many questions for you. Tell me, do you warm up?
No.
I'm gonna have to teach our correspondent Layla Hathaway to learn how to ask one question. That girl had about 12 questions right there for Kimberell. Folks, you don't want to miss that. Well, Layla took the microphone and interviewed Kimberell. We got lots of folks who are going to be in the special. It's right here on News 1 Now at 9 a.m. on Friday. Birthday shout-out time. L.A. Clippers center DeAndre, I can't make up my damn mind where I want to play Jordan. Turns 27, plus he gets a shout-out. He's a Texas A&M Aggies from Houston. So, DeAndre, way to go, but y'all still going to lose to my Rockets. Happy birthday to R&B diva Claudette Ortiz. She turns 34 years old. Singer Damian Marley turns 37. And my homie, Godfrey, turns 46. Also, it's Comedian's Day. Comedian George Wallace, another homeboy of mine, turns 63. All right, what happened to Godfrey and George? What happened to y'all photos? Oh, man. Now y'all going to have... See, George going to say, y'all say, I think he's so black. That's why we show the black screen. Y'all, George, that wasn't me. Don't you start ragging on me on Twitter, George. On this day in history, in 1896, the National Association of Colored Women is founded in Washington, D.C. In 1943, the movie Stormy Weather, starring Lena Horne and Bojangles Robinson, premieres in New York City. In 1950, black troops win the first victory of the Korean War when they capture the province of Yishan. Folks, I'm going to see you guys tomorrow. Don't forget, of course, we're going to have Wild or Not Wednesday tomorrow. We're going to have an update on the Sandra Bland case. It's going to be a big meeting today at Prairie View A&M University. We're going to have an update on the Jonathan Farrell trial as well, that of the officer who shot and killed him 2 years ago. Busy week for us on News 1 Now on TV1. Don't forget the DVR the show.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black Thoughts in America. It's News 1 Now with your host, Roland Martin.